Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Good to see you.
To see you too.
Wonder where everyone is today. Oh, there we go. All right, let me. Hey, everybody. Welcome, welcome. Right, I'm going to give us just another half minute. Caroline, are you sewing something?
It's these keychains for the high school seniors for their colleges. And it's like getting everybody on board to stitch things, get them done.
I love it. So nice. All right. Well, oh, just brought up thing. The right thing here. It's great to see everybody. We have a very interactive call today. I'm really, really excited about it. We're going to be looking at journaling as a coaching tool. Just looking at the time for a moment. I think we have time before we jump in. I'd love to hear. Well, actually, first, just ask all of you to take a moment and make a note. What's been moving through you over the last week or couple of days? What have you been seeing and noticing either about your coaching, the work that you're doing with clients, what's been feeling or what's been feeling important in terms of your own self-process, maybe your own energetics, maybe things that you're noticing around negative thought patterns or fears. Just take a moment and do a little bit of a check-in for yourself on what's been moving through you, what have you been seeing and noticing and witnessing that feels important, and what have you been learning for yourself? It's so easy, even when we know better, to go through our days and just do our things without checking in on where we're at, how we're feeling, what we're noticing, what's moving through us, what we're learning. I'd love to hear a couple shares. What's moving through you? What are you seeing? What are you noticing? What's important? Lauren.
Hi.
Hi.
So I'm noticing that I'm trusting in myself more and trusting in the process more, and even trusting my clients more. Like, there was a situation recently where a client has a child who has a lot of additional needs, and she's the primary caretaker. The child is unable to go to school. It's very intense. And the child ended up on one of our calls, and it derailed what happened in our call, but also it was really important for the process for me to see exactly what she's dealing with in the day to day. So it actually ended up feeling really supportive of the process. And mom is still struggling to carve out time for herself, but that's part of what we're working on. And even though like that container ended and we have not done her review and reflect call, I thought that she just sort of fell off. And the gardeners are right in front of me. She came back and she wants to do her call now. And even just this morning messaged me that her daughter thinks of me as one of her friends and her therapist and loves me and would love to have calls with me. So mom is even going to explore what that might look like for to have a couple of sessions with the daughter. So I'm going to mute myself with all of this going on in the background.
Well, I can't,
but it just feels great.
I hear it and I see it in the way that you're sharing. Amazing. Not just beautiful work, but you know, to focus in on what you shared, which I think is the even more important part of this, is you trusting the process. And of course, inherent in trusting the process is trusting yourself and trusting your client and trusting the container. And it sounds to me like you're finding this new place of guiding the process, but not gripping so much or having absolute expectations and then attachment to those expectations and outcomes. And that's allowing you to hold the space for your client much more powerfully and for you to feel it inside of yourself. So, so happy to hear it. So well done. You know, you've been working towards it. Yay! Who else? We have time for another share or two. What's moving through you? What's feeling important? Heather.
I guess for me, not much is moving through me. I feel like even though like weather-wise, we're shifting into spring, I'm up in Vermont. I just feel like weighed down by stuff that I'm not able to tie up and stuff that's lingering, and it's just really weighing me down.
Yeah. Yeah. Why is it important for you to notice that?
I think it's important for me to notice that because I think my area of growth is not everything is going to get tied up in a bow.
yeah.
And I haven't really figured out like how to let go or when is the right time to let go.
Yeah.
When that's not possible.
When is the right time to let go to just... articulate that a little bit more. When is the right time to let go of?
When is the right time to let go of, you know, it could be a project that just really has floundered and has struggled to take off. It could be a client that I'm working with and, you know, the time to fly has come, but she's not quite ready to fly yet. But working with incarcerated women, like their release date is their release date.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So if you were to go deeper with this on your own, what's a journaling question that you might have for yourself.
Like, if I can't tie it up in a bow, then like, what can I do so that I don't hang on to it and I can let it go? Like, mm-hmm. What's the next best thing?
Yeah. Yeah. Good. So I love that question and I'm going to add a spin to it if it resonates. So first of all, write it down, the question that you just asked, because I want to invite you to kind of ask that question in the various situations where things aren't tied up in a bow and they're feeling heavy and holding you down.
Yep.
And then here's the part, the little spin that I think might be useful to add to it is thinking about the energy with which you answer those questions from. The energy with which you answer those questions from. So are you up for doing a short little experiment?
Absolutely.
Okay. Is it okay to close your eyes? If not, it's okay to keep them. Okay. Yep. Connect in to the part of you that needs to tie things up in a bow. And notice what this part of you feels like. Inside of you. What does this one feel like? The one that needs to tie things up.
It feels like a knot in my stomach.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. Right. So we don't want to be answering the question from that place.
Right.
Let's try another experiment. So shake that off. And now connect into the part of you that really, truly, deeply understands that sometimes the way you end things isn't going to be all neat and tidy. The one that really knows that. What does that energy feel like inside of you?
It's moved to my heart area and it's warm.
Good. Good. Let's stick with it for another moment. Just continue to lean into that warm feeling and space in your heart area, to that part of you that understands that sometimes it's not going to be tied up in a neat bow, but it can be let go of anyway. Just allow yourself to connect more deeply with that energy and that knowing. Can you feel that?
Yes.
Okay, good. Really good work. So I want to invite, you can open your eyes when you're ready. Good. So I want to invite you to answer your great journaling question from this second. Energy. What are you seeing, Heather, that's important for you in the little bit of work that we just did?
I think it's important to like be transparent with like my clients if it's working with a client, or my coworkers if it's about a project.
Yeah.
Just being transparent with them, like, you know, all the loose ends might not be tied up, but from this place, I feel like it's time to release.
I love that. That's such a beautiful also example of energy follows energy, right? And you really believing that it's okay, that there are still some loose ends, and then being transparent about that will help you not only strategize and brainstorm more, but enroll others to be okay with it or inspired by it as well. Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Caroline, and then we jump into journaling. I think you're on mute.
I see it now. Thank you. I guess when you ask like what's moving through me, I feel like this whole year, I keep saying that I'm ready. Like I feel like I'm on a cusp. I don't feel like I feel like I've regressed. Like this time last year, my business was like on an amazing trajectory. And it's, I know I'm going through a lot of personal stuff, trying to keep my head above water, trying to be as nice to myself as I possibly can. But I don't feel like much is moving through me, that's for sure. So I just needed to voice that.
Yeah, I'm glad that you are. I'm glad that you're aware and you're sharing it. I have moments. I have had similar moments. And I think it is oftentimes when we're just, like you said, trying to keep our head above water, there are seasons like that where it's hard to know what's moving through us or locate that, or maybe there isn't even, sometimes I'm like, is this all there is? And maybe that is this part of the season. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that you're naming it and honoring it for what it is.
Thank you.
Is there, beyond naming and honoring, is there anything else that you would like with that goes along with that?
Well, I want it to go away.
I hear you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Not that you asked for a suggestion, but I'll just toss one in case. Not that you do this for the purpose of something of going away, but oftentimes what supports, if something is not aligned or in the right moment, what supports it is actually, as we've learned a couple times, accepting it and not needing it to go away and holding space for it with compassion.
Good reminder. Thank you.
Yeah. So true. Different seasons. I know at least for myself, I talk so much about the seasons and have taught about the seasons for so many years, but it was only very recently in a conversation with a friend of mine where she actually pointed it out to me. It was like a revelation that there are seasons also, of course, there are seasons in terms of our relationship with ourselves. Like I'm not always BFF with myself. I'm not always deep with myself. I don't always have an intimate, like not every season in my relationship with myself is an intimate relationship with myself. And I made it wrong forever when I would, go through those inevitable phases and cycles. And it really was a revelation for me to realize that too, my depth with myself, my intimacy with myself, my ability to hold whatever I'm experiencing or inability to hold goes through phases as well. All right. So we're looking at journaling at this point in the training where we're almost at the end. I can't believe we're almost at the end. Because journaling, and you'll see also when we meet in next ritual, really does bring together so many of the coaching tools that we have been looking at and learning and working with throughout the course of the program. Journaling has played a massive role in my own life and in my own business. I've been journaling since I've been a little girl. It has been a tool for me to know myself, understand myself. It's been a coping tool for me that has gotten me through stressful times, traumatic times. It has been an opportunity for me to connect more deeply with spirit. Journaling has been a great brainstorming tool, and on and on and on and on. It is one of my own personal go-to places for my soul work. In coaching, and we've used a lot of journaling throughout this program, right? I've asked a lot of pretty much every class, I'm sure. I have asked at least one, if not many, journaling questions. Now, how we've used it in Sacred Depths and how we use it in group facilitation is a little bit different than how we use it in one-on-one work. And what we're going to focus on today is how to use journaling as a transformational tool with your one-on-one clients. So whereas in groups, I often use journaling as one tool during session itself, in one-on-one work, really the only time that I use journaling in the session itself, like where I will ask a client to journal during the session, is if I feel like we need a pattern interrupt in the session. If a client, or if a client is having trouble clearing her head and we need a pattern interrupt in that way. So when I say pattern interrupt, what I mean is, if we need to move from outward, we're very outward focused and the client is having trouble moving inwards, sometimes a little bit of journaling in the session itself can be that pattern interrupt that helps move us inward. Or if a client gets too heavy in their emotion and what's needed next in the session is a little bit of a pattern interrupt to move more into the head or the cognitive, sometimes a quick journaling question can create a pattern interrupt in that way as well. But for the most part, how I use journaling in one-on-one work is as for homework and follow-up from what happens in session time in order to go deeper into what happens and what evolves and what comes through in sessions, to integrate it more, et cetera. So when I give, and I say give journaling assignments, but really I co-create those journaling assignments mostly with my clients at the end of sessions. When we co-create for homework, it's to go deeper on certain topics. It's reinforcement and practice of new learnings that came forward in the session. Journaling homework can be great also for pieces that you didn't have time for in the session, but that are timely. You don't want to wait until the next time you meet for your client to explore those pieces. Journaling homework can also be great for pieces that weren't yet fully baked during the session, for pieces that needed more processing, simply because sometimes getting more clear on things is a process. It's not going to happen in an instant in a session. You might start the conversation, but it needs to be continued. Every now and again, I will also give journaling homework for pieces that we kind of touch on a little bit in a session, but I sense that those pieces might be really, really personal and that my client might want to explore them in private first before having the conversation with me. Let me pause there. Does all of that make sense so far? So those are kind of the different purposes. I like to say there are very few rules when it comes to journaling. And it's a place where you can get really creative. It's not just about what's a journaling question and then the client answers it in writing. Journaling can be about dialoguing with different things or different parts of self. Journaling can include drawing, mind mapping, diagram making, list making, et cetera, et cetera. We're going to explore lots of those different things today. So there are very few rules when you give journaling as homework, but there are a couple of rules that I want to offer for you. Number one, the homework shouldn't take up too much time. If it's too big, if it's too much, if it's a series of like 10 or 12 questions or whatever it is, your client is likely to not do any of them, right? Because it's too much. It's going to overwhelm them. That being said, you also don't want it to just take a minute or two. Too little time isn't enough to go deeper, to have a container to be in your body as you do the work and allow truths to come through. I ask clients to carve out quiet time and space for themselves to do the work, to not just kind of like just think about the work, right? Or think about the assignment, but to actually create a container for themselves, like we create containers for our sessions to do the journaling homework. I invite clients. Part of the process is after they do whatever the journaling work is, I invite them to not just kind of like close their notebook when they're done right away and move on with their day, but part of the process is for them to read over what they've written or look more closely at what they've drawn or listed out, et cetera, and then list out takeaways from what they just read over or looked over, similar to how we would ask for takeaways at the end of a coaching session, right? We're always looking not just to create breakthroughs or go deeper with something, but to integrate. Depending on the situation, I'll ask my client to email me about what came through. Or I'll ask them to share it with me. I'll follow up in the next session. So if it's something a little more urgent or timely, I might say, you know, share with me what comes through. Let me know what you learned, you know, et cetera. Or in other situations, we might wait till our next session. And then this is less of a rule, but I'll just say, if you are someone who doesn't like to journal, there's a good chance that your ideal client doesn't like to journal either. But that doesn't mean that you shouldn't listen to this session. Adapt, right? If you don't like journaling, maybe you like drawing. If you don't like drawing, maybe you like collaging. If you don't like collaging, maybe you like something else, right? So we always want to coach the what based on the who and work with our client when we assign inner homework, work with our client to have assignments for themselves that they feel excited about, that they want to do, that feels doable for them. So, all right, let me pause there. What is all of this sparking for you so far? What's coming up? Anyone want to share?
I'll share.
Great. Thanks.
So I've had 3 plus practice clients and 2 of them love journaling. I love journaling. And then one of them didn't like it at all. And it was really hard for my energetics to be like, want to work with this client because she didn't like journaling and I love it so much. And I feel like that's so much part of the work. And then listening to you, I was like, before you got to the part you just talked about, I was like, maybe I should have pushed her harder, but I didn't necessarily co-create the way you said. And so that feels really important. Because oftentimes I would just kind of come up with the questions.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a couple pieces there. So first of all, in terms of the co-creation, I mean, sometimes if there's just a minute left, it's not a co-creation. I'll be honest and transparent. Sometimes I'll say this, and this. Sometimes also a client will be like, can you give me journaling questions? And sometimes in the moment, I'm like, you know what? Let me email you later today, right? But that's for the client that wants it. So for the ones that don't, exactly, like you want work together to brainstorm and find ways for them to be doing the work in the bigger, right? Because as we've looked at, the work is not just in the best of coaching. It's not just session to session. It's what happens in between sessions. So work together, right? Like if they don't like journaling, first of all, check your energetics on it. Love them, adore them, know that there are possibilities no matter what, even if they are not a journaling lover. And then work together to see, it might be, and we'll get to some of this also in our next session on ritual, this kind of straddles both. It might be that they're a nature lover and instead of journaling, they're going to go out to the trees and ask the tree the question and get the answer that way, right? Or it might be that they're a knitter and they're going to like bring a question to the altar of the knitting. And as they knit, they're going to meditate on it. Right. So, it might be that they're a dancer, right. And they're going to dance the part of their perfectionist or whatever it is. So there's something for everyone, but we do want to coach the what based on the who and work together with them.
Yeah. I love all those examples that you gave. And then I'm working with someone who's struggling with religion and just the relationship and it's changing. And I asked her to write a Dear God letter and she was just like really thought that was a great idea. And I'm meeting with her later today. So I don't know what she'll have to say, but I'm excited to hear about it.
Yeah, me too. Nice, nice work.
Thanks.
Good. Julie.
Thanks. I don't know if you all experience this, but sometimes when I'm going to unmute, it's like things shift and my cursor isn't where it wants to be. So anyway, I'm just really appreciating all that you're sharing because it's feeling very affirming around part of what I'm sitting with right now. I've been reflecting a lot about this. I did another one of my little one-on-one retreat days this past Saturday. And it was a little different and unusual in that it was with a close friend. And and it was also a barter, and she had basically offered to help me with articulating the messaging around promoting this as an offer. And so I was like, well, why don't you just come and have the full experience? So she did, but she didn't submit or return the intake questions that I had offered for her beforehand until like late the night before. So that left me in a little bit of a like, okay, well, where are we going with this? But point being, what I'm learning is, you know, it's just a fine line and tricky balance around doing this kind of deep, intimate work with friends. And yet this is a friend that I really felt safe trusting that we could meet on this level. We had a beautiful, beautiful day, but I was like feeling really inadequate, not inadequate, but just questioning, like, was this more like a glorified girlfriend date, you know? Mm-hmm. Point being, I did have a journal prompt prepared for her, but because of the way the day flowed, and I kept trying to remind myself to like be mindful of energy follows energy. There was just never felt like an appropriate opening or moment to present or offer this. And I struggled with even feeling like clear about when and where and in what ways to best offer or bring forward really any of the tools. So I kind of had this experience of like deer in the headlights, like, I don't know what I'm doing other than just spending this lovely day together with my friend. And I came away feeling a little bit, like I said before, inadequate, but embarrassed, like wondering if she's thinking like, well, what the hell are you doing, Julie? But I know she's not feeling that way. Anyway, I did include the journal prompt in my follow-up email, thanking her for the day and the time and sharing some reflections. And she's still in the process of, putting together reflections to offer back to me. I did send a little follow-up questionnaire for her to reflect. But anyway, I guess my point is hearing all of the ways that you're describing, like the fluidity around and with which we can integrate this tool and all of the other tools is just really affirming. And then I guess the other thing I'll share real quick is like when you initially invited us to reflect on what's moving through us, like there's just a lot for me around, I feel like I have this adrenaline hangover that's the result of my stress levels as I'm trying to pull all of the threads of my business and my life together, but also operating from this, well, like Carolyn was saying, you know, keeping my head above water, or, you know, being in survival mode. So I'm just noticing a lot of my own self-sabotaging behavior patterns and habits that are like getting in the way of being my best self. And yet at the same time, it's like, I guess I want to say, even though all of that, yes, Nevertheless, I'm still showing up and trying to learn from it.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you for sharing all that. There was so much in it. I'm going to pull on the journaling piece for now, though I appreciate all of it. It sounds like you did an amazing job reading the energy and knowing that there wasn't the right moment for the opening for the journaling, but you knew that it was an important question and that follow-up is important, and you put in the homework. So I love that you were trusting yourself and your intuition, even as you said, when we work with friends, I think sometimes it can throw things off a little bit because it's a different kind of relationship. But I want to reflect that back to you, Julie, so that you know, even in a situation like that, you were listening to your client, you were listening to yourself, and you were reading what, you know, for looking for what was most aligned and what was going to be most potent. So yay for that.
Thank you. I do believe and trust that she derived value from the day, given who she is, and like that it just served the purpose of being. Like one of the things she said she wanted for the day to be was the opportunity to like just be and have a day that was not focused on being productive or making money. So she's an entrepreneur as well. So that felt good.
Good.
Thanks.
Okay, good. So let's keep on going. You know, I like to put things into buckets. And so when we think about journaling in between sessions as homework, I've kind of got two buckets that I want us to look at. The first category is kind of, I call it more journaling, general journaling practices. So based on what, you know, what we see comes up in a session or over a series of sessions because of a client's maybe certain patterns or beliefs, we might develop with them or suggest for them a journaling practice. So a specific kind of thing that they would do every day or a couple of times a week for a number of weeks or ongoing. And we'll look more deeply at that in a moment. And then the second category or bucket that we'll look at are more like specific instance journaling. This came up in a session, and here are targeted one-time questions based on what came up in that session. So for the first category, more journaling, general journaling practices, these are things that you wouldn't give as assignments to every client. You'd really, something like an ongoing practice is something that you would explore with a client who really has the time and the space and the willingness to do that more longer term, consistent practice, right? Just like you wouldn't suggest a meditation practice for someone who maybe wasn't into meditation and didn't have the time and space for it. I'll share some examples of ongoing journaling practices, and then I'm sure many of you have others that you might want to share. So one example from Margaret of this type of practice is from Margaret Julia Cameron. She talks about morning pages, right? So first thing every morning in the artist's way, she talks about just taking the time to write pages in the morning. How are you feeling? What's moving through you? Where are you at? Similar to the question I asked at the start of this class, as a way of centering, as a way of starting each day, connecting to yourself, connecting to your body, to be present to what is, et cetera, right? A morning page, helpful to do once, but really the power is in the practice. It's every day or a couple of times a week. A similar practice that I sometimes like to share with clients, I sometimes also do for myself, is a take on the morning pages, where I just start the top of the page with "today I am." And then I keep on writing from there. "Today I am," as a way for me of being present to how I'm feeling that day, what's showing up for me that morning, et cetera. Another example of a journaling practice versus a targeted assignment could be daily gratitudes, right? At the beginning of a day or end of a day, having a practice of writing down all the things from the day that you're grateful for, or all the things from the day that you want to celebrate, a little bit different than gratitude. For me, when I write down gratitudes, it's, you know, things from spirit, from other people, from life that I really have touched me, that I find valuable, that have, you know, helped me, supportive of me, et cetera. Whereas in a celebration practice, that's like me celebrating myself. I did this. I was able to do that. I held space for that, right? So, or lessons learned at the end of a day, especially when I'm going through periods of time where things are harder and kind of tough. I'll have a practice where at the end of the day, I'm like, what are three things that, even though this day was really shitty, what are three things that I learned today, either about myself, about life, about others, et cetera? What else? What are some of your journaling practices? Who wants to share? This is more of like an ongoing, repetitive thing. Angie.
Yeah, I think I'm a lot like you in that I've had a journaling practice since I was a child. I remember my first one had a lock on it and, like, you know, nobody could get into it. And it is just, it's like the records of my life. And I don't necessarily always have the same thing. I mean, I think there are times when I'll go through and have it be more spirit led and, you know, just kind of, what would you have me hear? What would you have me know? What would you have me think and feel? And those kinds of questions. And then other times, you know, sometimes I really do just have to get to the basics and be like, okay, what am I thankful for? Just to, like, get my mindset there. But for me, it is a place that even if I try to commit, even if I can only write a sentence, like, that every single day I go to the book, and I miss, of course, and I'm gentle with myself when I do. But for me, it just really, it just helps me stay in tune with my own self and my own spirit. And I do use it with my clients quite a bit. They're not all willing for that, and that's okay. But for those who are, I do find it's a really helpful tool for them, even just to kind of see, you know, where they've been and how the energy has moved for them from the last time that we met to when we meet again. So yeah, that I think, but one of the things that I have actually realized is that I literally never go back and read anything that I've written before. And I think I'm missing out on understanding myself and my journey and my growth and trajectory. And so that's in my awareness, and I have them all back here. So
I love it. I love that you have them behind you. And I love that awareness. Yeah. And I would go through with your coaching hat on, and read, you know, some selected things. And then from there, give yourself a journaling question based on what you read, right? Like, so what's different for me now? What am I seeing has evolved for me? What am I still holding on to, right? Whatever it is. But yes, they can be tools to go back to.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Good. Lisa.
I was really captivated by your journaling with spirit, because it's something I've done, this sort of I do dialoguing, and then it ends up being journaling from spirit. And I don't meet many people who do that. I've been doing it since 1992, and I'm like, oh, somebody, another strange person does this, not just me. How do you do it? I'd never get the chance to share notes.
Yeah, it's a great question. I love it. And what Kim was sharing earlier, the letter from God is a take on that as well. But for me, and I talk about this in the, just for everyone, in the recording on radical self-love, this has been one of my most, call it, I almost, tears come to my eyes as I just say this, like, one of the my most powerful, potent tools for myself, because I, as many of us do, maybe have not been mothered in all of the nurturing you know, all loving, nurturing ways that I would have liked to have been mothered. And because I've internalized some of that, I've really used letters from spirit. For me, it's particularly feminine, like letters from the goddess, letters from the great mother, as a way of shifting that for myself, as a way of always being able to have access to and rely on a voice that is the archetype of the all-loving, all-nurturing mother who believes in me, who believes in my value, who lets me know that it's going to be okay, and who has just so much like higher wisdom and love and respect. And so that's really how I've used those letters. And I will, I think I may have shared this in the recording. The way that I do it is first, I just envision the great mother first all around me. And then I even envision her kind of like sitting behind me like this. And I lay back almost into her arms a little bit so that I can feel being held and being nurtured. And I connect in with that energy and I ask her, what is it that you want me to know? And I just start, I channel her words. I start with, "Dear Joanna." And it's just this, for me, this incredibly nurturing, healing experience of that archetypal energy of embodying that different voice and feeling inside of myself.
So beautiful. I just got that wonderful sense as you were saying about sitting back. And do you ask her questions or do you just see what she wants to say? Yeah.
Sometimes it's specific, you know, like, what do I need to know about this? Or I'm, you know, making a decision about that. But oftentimes it's just, what do you want me to know?
Yeah. Lovely. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for the lovely feeling.
Of course. Love that you've been doing that since the 90s. Michelle saying in the chat, another practice is writing down your dreams from the night. When I am most on top of my inner work and I am regularly writing my dreams and then doing dream work with them, my entire life is so much richer and more meaningful. Good. Anyone else want to share ongoing journaling practices that you use for yourself or clients? Yeah, Caroline.
So I do a thought download most mornings, and then I go back through and I circle the facts and I highlight the thoughts that I have, and most of the pages highlighted. So
yeah, it's such a really, I love that.
Really powerful
practice. Yeah, such a great practice and such a beautiful and quick way for like determining the fact from the story and all of that. Nice. Yeah. Julie.
I have been kind of out of the habit and practice of journaling lately, but it's been calling to me. And when I journal, I typically just do kind of morning pages style stream of consciousness. And so similar to what Carolyn just said, like just thought dump, but not even really thinking. I had an interesting invitation of a journal prompt from my therapist last week during that bathtub session, which was to write a letter to, what did she call it? Oh, write a letter to stuck and low, because she was like pulling on this thread that she was identifying was coming through in my sharing from the stuck and low parts of myself. And it was my intention to do that today, and I did not, but it's still there.
Maybe our class will re-inspire you.
I've been really looking forward to this class.
Good. I love that. So that is actually a great segue into, because that's kind of more of a targeted journaling question. So that's a great segue into that second category of journaling homework that I was talking about, which is less the practice and more work on these things this week based on a session. So what we're going to do to get into this category, of course, there are as many different journaling homeworks as there are journaling sessions, right? We can't like be exhaustive on it. But what we're going to do, and this is an opportunity for you to use everything that we've learned over the months, is I'm going to share with you, we're going to do some brainstorming on specific scenarios. So I'm going to share with you a case study from a session. And then my invitation for you is to write down some journaling homework that you might assign that client. So let's start with the first example. So in a session with a client, your client shares that she hasn't done any of the action steps that the two of you strategized out in the session before. She's working on her logo design business. She designs logos for a business. And in the session before this one, the two of you had strategized for her, created a strategy for her to bring on clients. This is the second session in a row that it's happened, that she hasn't taken any action steps to bring on new clients. And when you looked at it today, in today's session, more deeply, you saw that a few things were at play. Number one, your client didn't quite have the time in her schedule to complete all of the action steps, although she did definitely have time for some of the action steps that she didn't do. You also saw when you looked together that this client has some fear and resistance around being visible. So in the session, when this came up together, you did a befriend your fear process around her fear of visibility. And in that process, she connected deeply with a time when her first boyfriend made fun of her for wanting to become a famous artist. She was able to see that the perceived rejection from her boyfriend made her feel ashamed of her creativity and nervous to let others know that she wanted to make a business out of this creativity. In that befriend your fear process that you did together, the message from the higher wisdom that came through was trust your creatrix, trust your inner creatrix. What kind of journaling homework would you give this client? I'll give you a couple of minutes to jot down some notes. What would be some great ways to go further and deeper with this on her own in between sessions? give you another half a minute. What are some great journaling type assignments that would help this client integrate, go deeper, move some of the breakthroughs that came through in that session and that BYF process into transformation? All right, who wants to share? Oh, and Sarah, I didn't see in the chat until now on the last question, yes, dialogue with all the different parts. I love that. All right, who'd like to share? What are some things that this client could do on her own? Anita's saying in the chat, she could write a letter to the boyfriend explaining without filter how what he said made her feel and how it impacted her, expressing a variety of feelings. Absolutely. And it wouldn't probably necessarily be a letter that she sent, though at some point she might decide to, but writing the letter would be more for that exercise of, exactly what Anita's saying, right? To be able to share what came up for her through that, how it impacted her. Angie.
I was thinking letter writing as well, but on the lines of kind of embodying her inner creatrix to see what kind of wisdom she has to share with her about visibility, about trust, about what she would have her be doing if she really didn't have to fear any of that stuff, you know, what that embodiment more from her inner creatrix to her.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Going deeper to integrate and embody that like beautiful energy that came up in the session of the creatrix and trusting the creatrix and going deeper with it, letter, in order to embody it. Good. Heather.
Yeah, I was thinking, how does your inner creatrix feel about your action steps?
Yes.
And how would you refine those action steps to be aligned with your inner creatrix?
Yeah, absolutely. Have that creatrix weigh in on what are the visibility action steps to be taken. As a way again of embodying more deeply, and also because the creativity is such a big part of this client, so kind of using that more even for the business strategy. Good. Who else? Don't be shy, even if you're not sure. What else might you assign this client? What else could be helpful? Anyone else have any other ideas?
I'll share real quick. I just wrote basically the invitation just to write a letter to the part of herself that is feeling afraid, feeling fearful of being judged and criticized about her desires and ambitions.
Yes, absolutely.
Like write that letter in the voice of her higher wisdom and what her higher wisdom would want that part of her to know.
Yeah, beautiful. Absolutely. Writing a letter to the part that's scared, or another variation on that is writing a letter to if she broke up with the boyfriend as a teenager, he said that when she was a teenager, writing a letter to her teenage self from her adult self on the issue, sharing the wisdom. Good. Sarah.
Oh, sorry. I was just humming.
Oh, I meant to
undo my video. I'm with everybody, active listening.
Okay. Good. Lisa, did you have your hand raised? Did you want to share something?
I did. So I instead of writing a letter, I would just ask the creatrix directly, what can I help? What do you want to feel safe? What do you need to feel safe? What can I offer you? And the creatrix could say anything. Let the creatrix have the do a dialogue. But then the other thing I really would be curious about, and I'd ask the client if they would be curious about this too, and I would say, I'm wondering if where else in your life these feelings might get triggered up, because I'm guessing it's not isolated. And I would be curious to see if, it, depending on this client's level of self-awareness, I would ask them. Ask her to consider where else and kind of look for more ways that it's affecting her.
Yeah, great. And this is another great type of, you know, even though it's not journaling exercise. So the client could just consider that, like sit down and make a list, or tracking, any type of tracking, we can consider a journaling exercise, right? So on along those same lines, asking the client to go through the week, and anytime she notices that feeling come up, you know, she writes it in a chart. This was the feeling, this was the context for the feeling, right? This was what happened earlier in the day, whatever it is. But tracking can be a great way of connecting dots and creating awareness. Good. All right, I'm going to drop you all another hint to think about with this particular case study. Oh, wait, Lauren's got her hand up.
So it's not fully formed, but something along the lines of like drawing or designing like her trusted inner creatrix.
Yes, I love it. Yep. And that's where I was going to go with my hint. We know that this client is an artist, right? We know she creates logos. We know that that's kind of a happy place for her. So is there homework along those lines? So this is one, say it again.
So doing some sort of drawing or design of her trusted inner creatrix.
Yes, a drawing of the creatrix or a logo, right? Like even a brand logo for the creatrix. Good. Now that we've kind of added this other element in, I'll give you all another half minute. Any other ideas that come to mind for this client? And I'll remind you also that one of the other things that came up in the session was about her not having enough time for things. Any homework on that?
Yes. When was a time that time felt like your ally? When did it expand? And then taking her through some questions about how did it feel? What did you notice?
Yeah.
What does that leave you with?
Beautiful. Good. Good. Yeah. You could also have her do an excerpt, like an ideal schedule. Sorry, just lost my word. Ideal schedule exercise, right? Like I share in the time module. So any of that kind of thing, right? Good. All right, let's look at another case study. So this client, you're working with this client on setting boundaries. This client is needing support setting boundaries. And the client realizes through the session that she's kind of a doormat, in her words, in a lot of her relationships. She overgives. She takes a lot of over responsibility. She allows others to be critical of her and take advantage of her. And as the two of you look at this together, you also uncover that she has a fear of others being angry at her. And that's kind of what causes some of the doormat behaviors and the overgiving and the over-responsibility and the letting others kind of walk all over her. So you uncover that she has a fear of others being angry at her. And also through the work in the session, she sees that there's a buried energy of the warrior woman that is lying dormant inside of her. She's like, oh, I have a warrior woman maybe inside of me. So by the end of the session, part of her homework is she wants to set a boundary with a close friend of hers about specifically around that she's not going to lend this friend any more money because she never gets paid back. So that's an outer action thing that your client is really clear on. She's going to let this friend know. And then she also wants to set a boundary with her parents. They expect her to call them every day, and she's going to have a conversation with her parents about not calling them every day. And she really, both of these boundaries, she wants to set with confidence and also with love. What is some inner homework that you might give this client to go deeper, to follow through, to integrate, to embody? Right. What about this one? What are some of your ideas? What would be some really valuable inner work, journaling assignments to do in between sessions for this client? Lisa.
Oh, I would ask her to connect with and have a dialogue with warrior woman and embody her, move her, see if she has an actual image of what warrior woman might look like, and then what she might look like if she took on some warrior woman energy. Times in her life when she has had warrior energy, which may be on behalf of someone else, not herself, things like that, just to really begin to activate her connection with that.
Yeah. Yeah, beautiful. So imagine what the warrior woman looks like, what it feels like, dialogue with the warrior woman, connect with other times. What are some other times, right? If this client, some other takes on the same idea, if this client likes making things, she can make a warrior woman collage, different images, colors, things that remind her of the energy of this warrior woman, right? There's so many different ways we can go. Make a list of celebrities that embody this warrior woman energy, right? And you know who they are and why they embody it. Michelle's saying in the chat, along the same lines, ask if there's a piece of clothing or jewelry that would help her connect with her inner warrior that she could wear during the conversations. But yes. Good. Who else? What's some homework you would give this client? Anita's saying in the chat, write a list of policies for your relationships. What is acceptable for you and what is not? What are the attitudes and actions of warrior woman when something is not acceptable for you? I love that. Almost like if you were your own, it's making me think, Anita, like if you were your own company, like what's your employee manual for yourself in terms of policies for relationships, or like what's your manifesto, right? Love it. Yes, agreements. Yes. Good. Who else? These are all great. Who else wants to share? Caroline. And I can't see everyone on my screen. So if you're raising your hand in the Zoom, but I'm not calling you, you can also unmute yourself. Caroline.
I feel like it's also important to start to explore what emotion she's going to be willing to feel as she holds these boundaries to begin with, because it's not easy in the beginning. So just prepare herself.
Yes, absolutely. So this idea of preparing, right? I love, what emotions are you going to feel? That's one way, right? Like what emotions are you going to feel to kind of like look at that? Another take on the preparing can be inviting the client to script out the exact words that she might want to say to the friend or to the, she's not necessarily going to read the script, right? But for some clients, scripting out tough conversations like that beforehand can be really helpful for them. So, right, how are you gonna prepare? Will you have someone on the other end of it that you can go that will nurture you, or right, whatever it is?
And typically, it's not a one and done. Yes. It's like it kind of it's patterned on their side too. So it takes a little unwinding.
Yes. Yeah, unfortunately, almost never a one in done. Good. Lisa A in the chat is saying also would ask her to journal about what power means to her and the kind of power that she feels in alignment with. Nice. Yes. I love that. You'd probably, and I'm sure you know this, Lisa, but just for everybody, it feels important to say, if you're going to give journaling or any kind of homework where you're introducing a concept that maybe didn't get talked about in the session, you just want to like make that bridge and explain what the relationship is before they go off and do the assignment. Good. Who else? What are some other creative ideas? Sarah.
This is not a creative idea. It's a question. Mm-hmm. I notice I'm getting a little anxious for her. Because if she's been a doormat and she needs to do all this behind the scenes things, like, I'm kind of wondering like if asking her if she wants to slow things down, but that would be back in the session. What do you think?
Yeah. So, I mean, in the session for sure, right? So the way I was presenting the study is like you've done the work and she like feels ready and excited and you both sense she's ready, but you're bringing up a really great point. Around strategizing, right? Mm-hmm. Because this is an action step that the client, hopefully not that the coach just said, do this, but that the client came up with on her own, or that you strategize together. But that being said, right after a breakthrough, sometimes the next step is a baby step versus a big bold step, like telling your parents after decades, right? So it's all going to depend on the client, and you're going to want to use your listening skills, your questioning skills to really support a client to strategize on what's best.
Next. Okay. So this is for the purposes of our case study.
Yeah, I'm glad, but it's great that you brought it up because absolutely we want that integrated into the session.
Okay.
Good. Who else? Any other ideas, thoughts, where your client could go on their own next with this? Let's see what I had in. Oh, yeah, Sarah, go ahead.
You know, I almost wonder if it's not exactly scripting, but if she can, if she can imagine her parents receiving the message as if they have been loved.
Yeah, preparing like energetically, yeah. Not just what are the words, but what's the feeling, right? That you want to be sharing it with.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful, good. See, I think we hit most of what I had in my notes. A couple of other things. It might be helpful for this client for them to follow themselves. Another of these tracking exercises, follow yourself throughout the week, make a list of all the times you ignore a boundary because you're scared of making others angry. And then also note and track all the times that you uphold a boundary. Make a list of people that you know who set boundaries in healthy ways. And then this last one is similar to what Anita said, a little bit of a different take on it. Write out a definition of healthy responsibility and healthy giving, or aligned responsibility and aligned giving. All right, we have a couple minutes left. I have one more case study, but first, I think it's more important just to check in. What are you all learning? What's feeling exciting? What is this sparking? And what questions, concerns, thoughts do you have? What are you taking from our session so far? What questions do you have? Who wants to share? And are you feeling inspired to maybe double down on your own journaling practice? Lisa.
It's just a quick question. If I'm working with small groups, I'm inspired by the idea of offering a few different options, because you've given us a nice list of different options. It's like, oh, everybody's going to then take something that they feel like doing and they feel enthusiastic about, rather than being too prescriptive. Do you think that would work?
I love that. I love here's a page with three or four or more like ideas, and pick the top one or the top two that you feel inspired to do. You can also do the rest at a later time. And then you get to, you know, that could be very motivating for some people to pick. It reminds me of in school, you know, every now and again, you'd get like a sheet of paper where you don't have to do all the things, but you had to pick one or two of the things. And it was always more fun because you got to pick it versus the teacher telling you what to do. So I love that idea.
I'll test it out.
Excellent. Yeah, let us know how it goes.
Thank you.
Good. Who else? What's sparking? What are you seeing? What are you learning? What questions do you have? Heather.
I think for me, because I'm not a big journaler, so just remembering to check my own filters and realize this is a tool that's in my toolbox, and just really remembering to, you know, depending on the client that I'm working with, this could be transformative or helpful. Or
yes, I love that you're bringing the filters piece into it too, right? Because if we have this filter of like, oh, journaling is so boring and I don't like it, which is a perfectly fine filter to have, by the way, we might forget to check that with a client who potentially could just be amazing for them to have this kind of practice. Good. Good. Who else? All right. Well, we have a few minutes, so I'll toss us the last case study and we can have one or two thoughts on it, and you can also think about it when we're done with class. Okay, you have a client who is ready to embark on a new passion project. You spend the session beginning to vision with the client what this passion project is. The client's not fully clear on it, but she comes up with that this project is something that allows her to make an impact in the world of maternal care and childbirth. Something where she can use her brilliances of singing, writing, and connecting with others. Part of what's blocking your client on more clarity on this passion process is that she just needed for it to marinate for a little bit, as you know, new ideas often do. But the other part that was blocking her was a fear of visibility, particularly the fear that she'll be rejected or made fun of. Also, she realizes during the session that her beliefs around childbirth are pretty controversial. And part of what's holding her back from understanding what this passion project is that she's scared of haters. People that are just going to really, you know, hate on her because of her ideas about childbirth. You start to do a little bit of inner work around this just to kind of make some connections between the then and there and the here and now. And what your client sees is that the thought of being visible in all of this reminds her of when she was 8 years old and she got very, very made fun of for deciding to become a vegetarian. What are some homework assignments, journaling assignments that this client could do to go deeper and to follow up more? With the work that came up in the session. So we've got just a minute left. I'm going to let you all marinate on that and share, if you want to share in the Facebook group, thoughts and ideas, we can certainly continue the conversation there. My invitation for you is if you have not in your client work or your coaching partner work been leaving sessions with your clients to do inner work as well as outer action steps to start to focus on that piece a little bit more, what are ways for them to, what are some homework journaling where clients can take things deeper so that they can really use not just session by session, but the power of the full container with you to be doing the work, to be moving towards transformation, to be moving towards results. And if you have already been doing that, my invitation for you is to get a little, even a little more intentional about it and targeted and focused with it. And my bonus invitation for you is if during this session you were like, oh, I really want to get back to journaling, I miss it, or I'm journaling like once a week, I wish I could journal more. If you're feeling any of those pulls inside of you, my invitation to you is to follow it. I don't think you can ever, ever, ever go wrong with journaling more. All right. I'm sending you all a lot of love. In our next session, we are going to be looking at ritual as a transformational tool, just a little dip into it. There's so much to say about ritual, but we'll do a little intro on it. And then after that, we've got our last class, and it's going to be a really amazing one. We're going to both learn about next steps calls when clients are ending a cycle, but we think it's, you know, aligned to invite them to continue. And then we're going to use all of that as a backdrop for us to have our own wrap up of the entire program and integrate more deeply. Sending you all lots of love. Bye.